Blog Talk Radio.
We're unmuted live on Blog Talk. The culture of a kingdom people, the kingdom is within us. Let's stop looking for the nations to sustain us and find out just how much is in us. How much more you can do with you and your family to start a garden, to pray together, to do things to make provisions, not just stocking food and water, but being able to use the land around you to sustain at a time in which the other nations have prepared for. They're over the corporations. There will be no lack of bread for a lot of these other nations because part of their agreement with the United States is what? Is they're the merchants of the earth. They're not just the religious people as well as the shop owners. Don't forget, they're the merchants. So a lot of that product and trade comes from East India, China, and all these things will make it where when there's a famine, they'll get first dibs, even though we built the country. Okay, but I believe the Most High is allowing the tides for us to kick in and now begin to do things for ourselves and realize that food doesn't grow in supermarkets. Okay, that usually it takes work to sustain, and the Most High is bringing us back there because eventually that's what we'll be doing in the wilderness. Come is doing and what others are doing all around the world is preparing us for a self-sustaining time that will soon be upon us. Okay, we're not, and folks, people who are not preparing for this are going to be caught blindsided. Okay? So, with that, let's open up the lines, the culture of a kingdom people. You can take this any which way you would like. Open testimony or have questions. We have the elders on the line. 706 area code. Sandy has a comment and a question.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, Sandy. How are you?
I'm blessed by the best, the same as you. His name is Ahiah. I want to say thank you for the lesson and stuff. Everything that you is teaching, you're on point. And I just hope the people out there that's really listening know that the Most High got the Spirit on you, for you to teach us and to tell us what's going to go on, and for us to understand that instead of fighting each other, we got to learn how to come together as one. Just yeah, like we do in a marriage, we got to learn how to come together just like that. And we are more powerful when we are together.
Well,
and the next thing, I don't want to bring it off the subject, but I really want to get baptized, Elder. I really do. I've been trying to get in touch with somebody. And, you know, I did everything I think I supposed to have done. But I just want somebody to come. I'm in Columbus, Georgia.
Okay, you in Georgia. That's no issue. One moment. Because what I can do, I can make sure that Baruch call you up almost immediately to get this done for you, okay? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 67, working on 68. I talked to you before because I want my grandson and my great-great-grandson to be baptized also. From what I've been told, they got to look at the video, you know, go through the process just like I've already done. And then once that happens, then they can get baptized too. So,
because we have to give them a full understanding of what it entails so that they can understand that they're making a commitment with the Almighty and so that they can be guided through this, okay? So, all right, so we have your phone number. I have it here in front of me. Let's see. Hold on.
Okay.
Correct. All right, let me have your name again. Your name is Sanzy?
Sanzy, S-A-N-Z-Y. Jackson.
Okay. All right. You'll be contacting you no later than Friday, okay? Later than Friday.
Thank you, Elder. And everybody, I love all of y'all. You keep doing what you're doing, Elder. I believe you, and I know the Most High got the Spirit on you so you can teach us. So I'm down with you, and I'm with you all the way until I leave this earth. Okay?
Well, sister, you ain't going nowhere soon, but thank you for all the support, and thank you for your prayers and all and everything you do to actually back this church, Sandy. I humbly thank you for all you do in your prayer and getting your family together in preparation for what's to come. We can't do it. Don't forget, the kingdom comes not by observation. We can't do this alone. I can't do this by myself. We are a nation.
That's right. We gotta be a team.
And like I tell brothers and sisters, the greatest thanks that you can ever give anyone who worked in this vineyard, starting with Christ, is finish. That's
absolutely
the greatest thing that anyone can do with me. Because Christ, you know what I mean? He said, listen, if you pick up your plow and put it down, you're not worthy of my kingdom. So the greatest thanks is, sister, the more we go through this, the more temptations and trials we'll go through. After you're baptized, some people think that baptism is a magic bullet that stops you from what?
No, that I think the word, it, the word really
no, not, let me tell you. Exactly. Most people think that now you have some bionic power against sin or temptation. No. When you're baptized, Satan is even coming after you even more in temptation. Okay? That's why no sooner Christ was baptized, what happened subsequent to that, right after that? He went and the devil tempted him and tried to, because now when you're baptized, that's a spiritual metamorphosis. We don't see it, but that the Most High is moving us from out of this kingdom, from the power of this kingdom, into his kingdom. The angels usher us out of the water. We are being protected into a new kingdom from that moment. So at that point, Satan ain't worried about the people he already have under his control. He's more so focused on those he's lost. He's lost. And that's why it says when the spirit sees a man, and he sees us garnished and clean, that's after being baptized. But then the spirits wait, and once something happens, more spirits come on the person, and they become worse than they was from the beginning. So that's why some people ask, well, why do we have these particular classes and all these things when it comes to baptism? It's not a small thing. This isn't the Christian church. Once you're baptized into this, okay, and not to throw any shade on that, but in the Christian church, you can be baptized and you still believe that you're under grace and still can sin without any consequence. That's not the truth. So once you get baptized, understand that the devil is coming to tempt you. He's coming to turn you back. He's coming to move you back into his world. And guess what? There is no gray area. There is no, I'm in the truth, but I'm over here too. No. It's either you're in it, because there's only two masters. And either we're serving that master.
If I feel like I'm falling that week like that, Elder, I'm going to come to y'all and ask for prayer.
Exactly. Prayer can help us overcome. But there is no choice. And all in all, that's why speakers should come. Listen, I understand what Paul says that we're, because there's a lot of bad days too. There's a lot of discouraging days. But we're prisoners. Because the reality is, like the Matrix, once you take the pill, okay, once you see the world for what it is, you can't plug yourself back in. It doesn't matter how much you try.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it, then.
Thank you, Tawana, y'all. Bless you all.
Ayendabar and Baruch will be calling you, okay?
Okay, Elder.
He'll be calling you. All right. All right, next call, we have Diane has a question. Diane.
Shalom, elders. It's Sister Diane from Killeen, Texas.
Oh, I knew who it was. You got that raw milk. Talk to her.
Oh, yes, and I'll be drinking his raw milk and eating his raw butter and eating his raw cheese. Oh, you best believe it.
All right. What you got for us, Diane?
So my question is to the elder, are you able on your farm, are you able to grow einkorn wheat? It's spelled EINKORN. It's a special type of wheat.
Do you know anything about that, Shikam? to come. Are you with me?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we hear you now. You can bring it. You can hit your camera if you would like. Hit your camera.
Okay.
Your camera at the bottom. As an
all right.
Okay, she's asking, can you grow a particular type of wheat?
You know, sister, I've never heard of this type of wheat, but if you would spell it for me again, and maybe if you can give me a little bit of insight on it, if there's something particular or specific about it and a reason that you're asking about it specifically. But if you could spell it for me also.
Okay, so it's E-I-N-K-O-R-N. And the reason I'm asking about it is because it is really a special wheat. It's the only wheat that I know of that has never, ever been hybridized or genetically modified or manipulated. And so it's a very pure wheat, the purest. Actually, the DNA of it traces all the way back to the Fertile Crescent. So it's a very, very pure, untouched wheat. And there are all kinds of articles that you can read online about it. I even read about it on my website. So it's just extraordinary. And my husband and I have been eating it for years, and our health has been just so great because of it.
Okay, so you have this weed on your particular property, sister?
No, but when we do start homesteading, we want to grow it. But I write about it on the website. There are articles online that you can get to read about einkorn. I mean, you can find out about it, but I also read about it on my website as well. But it's loaded with vitamins and minerals. It's the purest wheat out there. And so it would be awesome if you could grow it on your farm.
Okay. You're going to look into that, Chicago?
Yeah. I tell you what, you know, you never know. It might be something that's right around me and under my nose. I mean, there's quite a bit available that isn't always readily available in most places that I mean, believe it or not, I'm in a very fertile, and there's food outside of what I grow. There's food all over the place. So I'm going to check into it for sure. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, great.
Is that okay,
and
Diane?
It's wonderful. And if you need any more information about it, if I can help, just contact me. I'll be more than happy to tell you more about it. But and also, are you going to raise or are you raising bees for honey? I need some honey with that raw milk.
Yes, indeed. It's coming. It's right around. It's on the way. That's the honey is coming. The bees are coming.
Okay,
awesome.
I'm in contact with some guys. We're working on it.
Okay, so what I'm going to do real quick, since Diane has, I put her number down before, but I'm going to write her number down here. Because she does a lot. She does a lot on her farm, and maybe you all can network. So I'll get right. Hold on. Right. One moment. You don't mind me giving your number to him, right?
Oh, not at all. I don't mind.
Great. Let me write it down, Diane. Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you. Go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, I know I saw some people asking about the spelling and how to find the channel. I did drop it in the chat, a link down below, and I'll go ahead and put it again. So even those who may not have the chat readily available in front of them right now, or you don't watch this now and you're watching the recording, or you just come back later and you'll find the link. I just dropped it again, but that way you guys can find it.
Okay, and thank you, Diane. And I'm going to give you a number, Diane, to Shikam, and he'll be calling you so that, you know, we can get some of that weed. I'm going to need that. 346
yeah.
area code. Let's go through these. 346 area code.
Bro, hi, this is hi, Elder. Salaam. It's Kenyatta again.
Okay, it sounds like you are far away. Is your phone good? Are you traveling?
Oh, hold on.
If you're on a Bluetooth or something, take us off of that. It should work better.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, this is good. How are you?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you're excellent, bro. You're on.
Okay, yeah. I had a comment, you know, on growing your own food.
and I guess, you know, some survival tips. But there was a time in my life when, you know, I had to go to prison, and they had me working out on the farm. And, you know, I had never done that before. And I learned a lot, you know, from going out having to plant the seeds and all of that, you know, stuff I never knew before. And okay. They keep up with their crops, you know, because they use a lot of different types of fertilizer and different tricks, you know, to keep their plants from dying during, you know, the harsh weather and all that stuff. And their seeds that they were using, they're like, they're covered in fertilizer before they even plant the seeds. Some of their seeds were covered in fertilizer. And then it helped the plants grow a lot faster than normal. But then I was thinking, like, how dangerous is that, those chemicals, you know, being on those seeds?
And, yeah, know, a lot of that stuff food. is hybrid. It's hybrid and GMO. Maybe it bursts out of the ground, and you know, it brings forth its fruit and, you know, and protects itself. But at what cost? Usually, you know, your stomach can have pain. Different types of stomach cancers and all those things like that. GMOs aren't good. So, so I'm sure it should come in speaking of more so organic. Majority of what you grow is predominantly organic. Is that correct, Chikong?
That is correct. Everything we grow is organic. You know, we deal with natural, you know, fertilizers and, you know, compost and making different liquid fertilizers and different teas, you know, and yeah. That's we're dealing with natural things, organic.
I heard one, I guess, organic way to help plants grow is, I think it was either bananas or banana peel, putting it next to the seeds when you actually plant. And
that is a natural fertilizer, absolutely.
Okay.
That is a natural fertilizer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're doing all that. You know, we compost all of our, you know, our waste and have a compost system. I have a few other things that I'm going to be moving into. Man, there's a lot. But, yeah, we keep it all natural, even when it comes down to pest control and, you know, fumigation and so forth. We deal with all natural organic methods.
Well, thank you, my brother. We'll get the next call, okay?
Okay.
I'm glad he brought that up as a good point, because it's best to know that, listen, we're going to – you know, we're truth people. We're Bible people. We are as natural as they come. It's important for people to know that, you know. 501 area code. I see you, Sunshine. I'll grab you in a moment. Let me go down the line. 501 area code. Because I know Sunshine be having this thing on the
feed. Hold up. Yeah, they told me it's the number one.
Lord have mercy. Tiffany has a comment. 806. I'll be back with you, sister. Don't worry about it. Get that conversation been tied up, you know, just put that in the bow and get ready. I'll be right back with your 501. I tie it up. 806 area code. Tiffany has a comment.
Yeah, well, I guess I have a questions and comments. I don't know what to call it.
Okay.
But
well,
I'm very, I'm very new to the channel. Or to your,
okay.
you know, to this ministry. So,
thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very new to it. You know, I've kind of already, I don't know, and if you call it that, had a revelation of, you know, who we really were. I kind of asked that question about a year ago. I always had questions about it. And then I think I even wrote a poem kind of about it. And then this channel just kind of confirmed it a whole year later, because I was like, I kind of put it on the back burner because I never could find anything, you know, on it. You know, that I felt was real, I guess, in a sense.
Okay.
So I'm kind of glad
okay,
to
so now you realize that you're acting from the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yeah. I kind of knew it, but I never could get, I don't know, real confirmation. It's been about a year, you know, because everything I could find kind of, it didn't really seem to line up with, I don't know, with, you know, line up with who God is. You know, it didn't really speak love. I should say. And so, yeah, so I just kind of maybe even a week ago happened up on this channel. And so I'm just glad to have done that, I guess. I guess that would be the comment.
Okay, well,
know.
I'm glad you're here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad you're here because, I mean, the most I've been probably, like of all of us, has been trying to
resonate with the message with you for a long time. And I know this is not the first time you've probably heard that. You've probably seen brothers on the street. I was once on the street in the early 90s when this was a, it was like David against Goliath. You, what an Israelite was in our message opposed to the Goliath mega churches. It seems like this would never take traction. But obviously, people started to realize that something is different with us. There's some serious similarities between us and America and what we read in that Bible concerning the Egyptians against the children of Israel. Now you realize, like, we're in a systematic trap where, as a people, we could only get but so far. And we thought that maybe it was because the white man and the other races of people. It has nothing to do with the white man. The Most High God came from his power. The Most High is bringing us. He's bringing us. Earth is our trial. These trials and tribulations are actually refining us like pure gold in order for us to become a kingdom people who will rule. What we don't like here is the doom and gloom, woe is me, the white man this and the white man that. Listen, anyone worth their salt in the Bible will understand that the Most High set up Pharaoh. He can show his power. So we have to get out of that victim mode and understand that, yes, the curse, it happened. But the Most High gave us the law and sent his son to die. Okay, and through that death comes a sacrifice which sets us free. So no longer do we walk around this earth as victims blaming white people for our problems. No, it's not the white man that'll pull a gun out and shoot and have us in the neighborhood where we'll shoot one another. We can't blame the white man for that. We can't blame the white man, even though they're behind, the system is behind them sending the drugs in our neighborhood. We can't blame them when we're the ones telling them. Time for us to look at ourselves and understand that we are a culture of kingdom people that that have to bear the name of Israel and be responsible with that name. And that's the point. That's the difference between what you see here and other places who have made their doctrines off of pointing out white people. Okay? So I'm glad you're home. And I'm sure you'll be. All right. All right, bless you. All right.
The next step is kind of like, okay, well, now what? I'm so used to, I grew up in the church, so I'm just so used to whatever that is. It's kind of like, well, now what's next?
If you grew up in the church, you read the gospel, right?
Yeah, of course.
Christ ran into the disciples. They were fishing nets, and he said, put your nets down and make you fishers of men. He baptized them, and they became disciples to learn the true doctrine. So now what you need to do, and it's a good thing, you're starting already by learning, but then what you have to realize is it's time to put down sin, that there's moral, civil, and dietary laws. Because we broke the laws, the Most High put us under the hands of the Gentiles who have no law. So now you must become accountable to the Most High by following his law. Do you eat pork?
Not recently, not anymore.
No, just be honest. Do you eat pork?
No, not anymore. I mean, it's been very recent.
Okay, let me ask. Here's a better question. When was the last time you ate pork?
About 3 months ago.
Okay, so you put that down forever, correct?
Well, yeah.
All right, what about shrimp, crabs, or lobster? When's the last time you ate that?
That'd be about four months ago. Yeah, that too.
And you put that down forever, which means the only thing you can eat out of the waters is the fish that have scales and fins. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what clean meat is. So it starts there. It's called a discipline. Because through that mm-hmm. diet now, you're no longer eating the death of the earth. Pigs were made to eat the waste. So was the crustaceans of the waters. Okay, so now you're going to start getting your health together so that now you can think straight. So the dietary laws are pertinent. They're very important. And then it's the moral law. You got the moral, civil, dietary, right? So you have the laws when it comes to, I mean, the ceremonial law, not moral, the ceremonial law, which is the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Now you must hallow the Sabbath and no longer treat Sunday like your Sabbath anymore. It's from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, and we can help you out with that with you following us on Sabbath, every Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? The next thing, mm-hmm. the holy day. When the last time you celebrated Christmas?
Last Christmas.
Okay. Do you know you can no longer celebrate Christmas for the rest of your life?
Well, I know now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have a Bible in front of you?
Yeah.
Grab a Bible.
I sure do. Huh? Okay.
All right, Tiffany, I'll take my time with you.
Okay, I have it.
All right, Tiffany, let's go to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter.
Okay.
Take your time. Let me know when you're there.
Okay, I'm at Jeremiah 10. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Start with the first verse. Start with the first verse. Let's go.
Okay. Well, it's not King James talking out to me, but it's about.
Don't worry about it. That's another thing. After this, even if I got to send you a Bible, whatever Bible you have that's not King James, do you have a fireplace?
No, I don't have a fireplace.
What about a barbecue pit?
No, I live somewhere really dry, so no.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. Well, the trash
mm-hmm.
bin too.
Yeah.
King James Version.
I got that.
King James Version Bible only. Okay? I'm almost afraid to ask you what's in this Bible, but go ahead and let's start at Jeremiah 10 and 1. Let's go.
Okay, verse 1 you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hear the word that the Lord speaks to you, O Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not act like the other nations who try to read their future in the stars. Do not be afraid of their predictions, even though other nations are terrified by them. Their ways are futile and foolish. They cut down a tree and a craftsman carves an idol. They decorate it with gold
okay.
and silver. Oh, wow.
Okay. Let me see. This is what they did with their word salad. With these fake Bibles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the King James that closely correlates to the Bible, to the original
mm-hmm.
scroll. So what they did was they put a lot of word salad in there. And they told us,
mm-hmm.
well, it's because of the Quaker English, they want to make it sound even more better for us in our current English, which was a deception in of itself, okay? The devil
mm-hmm.
did that, okay? Let me read Jeremiah 10, mm-hmm. and you can follow me, and make sure tomorrow...
Mm-hmm.
You go get yourself a King James Version Bible. Can you promise me you'll do that?
Yes, I can do that.
Thank you. All right. So let me get Jeremiah 10 real quick for you. All right, I'll get it here. Jeremiah 10.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure other people can see this too as I go here with you because you're probably watching us live where it says, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you. O house of Israel. Now, this is what the Most High warned our people about. Thus saith the Lord, our God, the one who delivered us out of Egypt. Learn not the way of the heathen. We're not heathen. We are a people of law. Okay, heathen is the people who believe that they can operate in this earth without law and still be accepted, like the Gentile nations. So we're not to follow their ways. And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Okay? That's dealing with all types of witchcraft, sorcery, astrology, and all those things. And now, we're not to follow none of that. Three, we have a God to follow. Who made the stars? Jeremiah 10:3 reads, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen made with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. What does that sound like to you? What does somebody put at the bottom of a tree and deck the halls and deck their tree with every year? What does that sound like to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a Christmas tree decorated.
Thank you. Did your preacher tell you that the Bible says that that was Satan's tree?
Well, no, not about to say not really. They didn't really answer too many questions.
They should have told you in the church with the Bible in front of them that every December 25th leading up to Saturnalia, which was once called Saturnalia, which is their Christmas, that this is Satan's tree. The legend of this tree is that after Nimrod was dead, his mother Semiramis was losing power over the people because why? The majority of the population feared her son. She was a woman. So to instill the fear back in them, she was impregnated and lied and told people that she had a baby that was blessed by the divine with no father. And that Talmuz was Nimrod incarnate, and the symbol of Nimrod being incarnate was a tree which erected over Nimrod's grave. Now, she probably got a few guys out there to plant the tree to pull the con, but all in all, this is the legend of the Christmas tree, where she tricked the people into believing that the tree was the spirit that the gods have confirmed the incarnation of Nimrod through her virgin child, Thomas. So here it is. She claimed to have this divine pregnancy after it during the spring. That's where Easter comes from. 9 months later, they claimed a tree erected over Nimrod's grave when she had the child. So it's Talmuz incarnate. And then what happened was the Romans, their mystery religion called Mithraism, they took that legend, changed the names, and that was the religion that the Romans, the Edomite Romans, were following while Christ was walking the earth. So after we fell in Jerusalem, after they destroyed us in Jerusalem, the Catholic Romans, or the Catholic Church today, infused that religion and mythology within modern-day Christianity because there was no one to uphold or defend the original Christianity like us. And then they repackaged their satanic, heathenistic customs and sold that religion to us in slavery as stories that we should respect because now they've changed the name from Semiramis to Mary and from Nimrod and Talmuz to Jesus. Now, the Bible is correct, but we're here to set these heathen straight. That pastors out there are supposed to look at this Bible and understand that a tree, you can't lie and tell people it's the reason for the season. You can't lie to people with the Bible in front of you and expect these people to continually honor and respect the Bible. They want to see you doing something wrong and understand that you're not even following the book you claim your faith is built on. So the Most High has a judgment for these pastors because they've read this chapter, but they still are erecting trees and lying to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to leave it there. Okay? Mm-hmm. I just wrapped up a whole history lesson in a couple of seconds for you, sister. You've been saved from the fire. You've been, the witch is dead, Semiramis, and her son. The Most High, open up your eyes so you can find the God who told us not to follow this. Now, Esau in America is pushing this because this is the custom that led to our people being what? Expelled from the land. Because we did this, the Most High put us in captivity. So, of course, the Gentiles would make this a tradition to keep God angry at his people for continually practicing. Got it?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
No more Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And don't let your pastor lie to you and say when Christ came, that changed. Christ said in Matthew 5:17, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. How are you going to come and undo what his father did? That's insane. Christ came not down to do his own will, but the will of him. That pastors are crazy, making people try to play the son off against the father. They are insane. Okay?
Yeah.
They're the only people I know use the book to tell people to explain why they're not doing something in the book. Utterly insane. So, sis, the Most High broke that psychosis, those blinders off of you. Our God requires obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And through obedience and discipline, Israel is saved. This is what gets us back on course. Got it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Now you understand the culture of a kingdom people. And anything else before I go? And continue to look and listen. What city and state are you in, sister?
Well, I guess to say Alexandria, Louisiana. Maybe that's where I'm going.
Oh, I'm from Lake Charles. So we got some people in Louisiana that can reach out to you. But I'm not going to press you. Continue to do what you're doing and let us know when you're ready, okay?
Well, that was part of my question. I was just looking to see, do y'all actually, you know, I don't know, meet? I don't know, like a service? I don't know.
Yes, we meet. Yeah, it's a service. What you smiling? What you laughing for? No, meet, service? What are you talking about? You nervous?
I don't know what to call it. Yes.
It's called a Sabbath service. And, you know, Sabbath where the Lord said, and I don't know if the preacher ever read this in the Bible, but the Sabbath is the day of the Lord. The seventh day. It's like it's in the Bible that the preachers have in front of it. But yet they refuse worshiping Satan operating on the first day of the week with no scripture to say at all to do so.
Yeah, well, I've always had questions.
Sister, I brought this out in the academy last Sunday. To actually go to church on Sunday is idolatry. Now, people ask, well, ain't no idols there. Well, no. During Nimrod's time, the sun outside was the idol for Sunday. So they would all worship the sun in the sky. That was their idol on the first day of the week. So everyone that's going to church on Sunday is committing an abomination, and on top of that, they are idolaters. Okay? Don't let no preacher come and try to go into the Bible and tell you, well, hold up, the Bible says that they broke bread on the first day of the week. Listen, if you get some biscuits and chicken on the first day of the week, I can break bread with you too. But you're not going to change God's day to the from Sabbath to Sunday. You can't have a time that they did a meal and turn that into a whole holy day. That's utterly ridiculous. So don't let them do their satanic New Testament tricks on you. And then they'll say, well, let no man judge you in regard of a holy day. Well, those holy days he was talking about were the holy days in the Bible. Christmas or Sunday wasn't even in the context of that scripture. So don't let them try to play tricks on you, okay? The devil speak with forked tongue. All right, I'm going to place you on hold, sister. I got your number here. Let me have your name. And I spent a little extra time with you because I know the Bible tell you when one hears the word and understand if not, then come the wicked one to try to steal what's sown in their heart. So the Most High God, you are at a very, very vulnerable stage right now, just learning the truth. And you can go either way because what? You're not rooted in the word yet. You don't even got a Bible yet. So this is why I'm spending the extra time with you to get you on call, to get you in the right direction. First, go get yourself a King James Version Bible and punt that book you just read. Okay? We good. So let me get your name once more.
Tiffany.
Tiffany. Okay, I got you here, Tiffany. All right. And Louisiana, and I got some Sears brothers over there for you, so don't even worry about it. They're my home. They're my They're my hometown. That's where I came. Hey, I came up Lake Charles, Louisiana, where the spices are right. So don't worry about it. I'm going to make sure you get a call almost immediately. Welcome home.
All right.
All right?
All right, thank you.
Welcome to the family. Bless you.
Mm-hmm. You as well.
All right. Well, we have to clip that up and put that up as a video by itself. Aaron has a question.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you doing, Aaron? How are you? Let me put this down in scripture here. I left it up there in case the pastors want to actually read passages out of the Bible. And you know what? I'll pull it real quick from them because I went to every scripture they'll go to. Right? So I know they're probably looking at my video scratching their head right now. But go ahead. I'm listening to you.
They'll find a way to twist it.
They'll find a way to start shuffling. But it's okay.
I wanted to ask, have you ever thought about, because I know the lesson that you're going to do, Most High willing, this Friday, about the entertainment industry?
Brother. We're going into the music industry, darkest secrets, this coming.
Yeah, have you ever thought about bringing back those?
We're going to do a review on this particular topic. The music industry's darkest secrets. Yeah.
Okay, and when you brought that up last week, I automatically thought about those Do It Style Wilt series and Handlers of Hollywood series you guys did. It was like four or five parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I wonder if if y'all ever thought about doing those again. But this time, with everything that's going on,
Brother, I know what you're saying, but YouTube them came up with all these guidelines that you can't use any other stuff, man. We used to be able to go into it, but YouTube has made it where. Yeah, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can upload that series on Patreon. I can do that.
Yes, because I've been looking for Handlers of Hollywood series. I really want to watch that again because that was a deep learning. That was a deep learning experience for me when I first watched that. My mind was blown
because it was pointing out the particular people who are behind the business in their religion, mm-hmm. who they really are, and how they use people. So this is why anytime you try to break out stuff like that and expose the handlers, let me tell you. Anything that was remotely breaking down and pointing out the handlers of this world was actually, they struck the page for all these videos. We had to comb through all of our YouTube videos to get it all off and save it to a hard drive because they were coming after the channel.
I remember it was on YouTube and then it was gone. And I was like, man.
Yeah, let me tell you, it was like a hit in the gut for me, brother. I'm gonna tell you. I'm surprised they still got the 12 Let's Try sign in the name of the Most High up there. But go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this, and this would be my last question. You ever heard? There's a 6-hour video called The Synagogues of Satan. Where it takes you from, 1865 all the way to, 2011, 13 or something like that?
Yep.
Have you seen it? So you've seen it.
I've read the book and I've seen the video, but you can't find it on YouTube anymore. I mean, when you find that, you'll probably find Jimmy Hoffa, too. Okay,
I found
that series is probably next to Jimmy Hoffa. Do you have it?
Yeah, you got to go to Google and type it in, and then it brings it up with a disclaimer. And once you click OK on the disclaimer, and you can watch it. But if you just go to YouTube and try to type it in, it won't bring it up. You got to go to Google and type it in, and it'll bring it up.
Oh, man. Thank you. I'm going to do that right now. Thank you, my brother. I was looking for that. The Synagogue of Satan, it's a documentary, right?
Yeah. It's like a 5-hour, 6-hour documentary where they go each year, they go through like from the 1800s, like the, you know, monumental moments from each year.
Oh, no, no, I got it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to talk about that later because maybe I'm going to make this another scenario we can do a Patreon review on. So I got it. I've been looking for this. I can find it on YouTube anyway. Thank you, my brother. You got the most hour?
All right. Yep.
Thank you.
And then could you... Oh, no problem, Elder. And then could you give me a call maybe at your earliest convenience?
Yeah, what's going on? What you need?
Well, I know you were supposed to give me a call a little while ago.
Okay,
and
so I said I was
going to
call you,
and
I didn't? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, one moment.
But I know how things are, so,
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I've been swamped. There's a lot of issues I've been dealing with lately. I'm going to tell you right now. You're talking about a tax. But don't worry about it. I'm going to call you, all right? Just give me a little time. I'll call you. I'll make sure I put it in my phone for the reminder, okay?
All right. I appreciate the water, Elder.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. All right. We only got a few moments before the call. Shalom, before the calls. A few moments before the calls actually, before the queue drops where no one can call in. So you only got four minutes to call in. 704 area code, we have Brandon. Brandon has a comment and a question.
Hello.
How you doing, Brandon?
All right, how you doing, Shalom, Elder? My comment, man, I just wanted to say you the man. I love your songs. That Bye Bye is a hit. You on your way.
Thank you. Well, Christ is the man, but all praise be to him. But thank you for the compliments for the song. Thank you.
Go on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I'm in the Charlotte body, and I've been trying to find somewhere where I can get me and my wife and my two kids baptized.
Oh, and you ain't saying nothing but a word. Right now, because I got Elder Al on speed dial. Hold on. I'm multitasking right now. All right. And your name is Brandon, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's near my mother's old stomping ground. Hold on, Brandon. Okay. Let me do it for you here.
Okay.
Let me see if it's right. Okay, well, hey, Elder, I will be calling you before Friday.
I appreciate that, Elder, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're changing a lot of lives out here.
Well, all praise be to the Most High. I don't know anything else I can do. I'm a prisoner. And guess what? If I stop doing it, I'm afraid what would happen if I stop doing it. I mean, I can't even think about not doing it because I'm so excited about this truth and where the Most High is taking things. I want to see the end of this work. I really want to see. I want to see the spiritual realm come into existence. I want to see Christ do what he said he's going to do and establish our people once again. And there's no way. And, you know, even if I got to go with both of my knees scraped up, if I got to go in there with one hand, one eye, and two knees scraped up, as long as I make it in. Right,
amen.
Hey, listen. Hey, brother. We can never stop the fight. Okay, so
hey, my daughter wanna say hi to you.
Okay, bring her on.
Hi.
Yeah, I can say. How are you?
My dad is a real fair boy of you. He watches you all day, every day, by the way.
A fanboy? Come on, you can't say that. Ain't no fanboy. That I guess that's some new lingo.
She's nervous. She's just acting silly. It's her baby.
Yeah, what's her name?
But she
what's
her name?
What's her name? Put her back on the phone.
Yeah, she will speak to you.
Hello?
How old are you?
13.
Okay, that's the language. All right. All right. Well, your father respects the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think about the truth? What do you think about you actually being from the chosen people of God? What do you think about that you are chosen above all people on earth?
I believe in God.
But how do you feel about you being one of the chosen people? The people who walked through the Red Sea. The people that were given the commandments of God. What do you think about that?
I mean, I believe in it.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. Right now, you're in good shape. Honor your mother and father. Listen to your father, and you'll be fine. And guess what? You're blessed enough to have a father who believes the truth. And guess what? Hey, you're going to become a big fan because, I'm talking about of your father. You should be already. He knows the truth, and guess what? He's about to change everything in your lives for the better. How do you like that?
Yeah.
All right. Put your father back on the phone. Lord, have mercy.
Hello. Right. Sorry about that, Elder. She gets so goofy sometimes. She just gets silly.
I know. Listen, we were that age at one time. You know how it is. All right.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Thank you, my brother. Don't worry about it. You'll get a call before Friday, okay?
All right. Tell me wrong, brother. Thank you for everything. God bless you.
All right. Bless you. All right. 626 area code. Sabrina has a question.
Shalom, Elder Rapar. This is Sabrina over in Washington.
Hi.
I had a quick question. I wanted to know where that the brother that was on with you a little bit earlier, where he's located at.
He's in Mexico, but we're not putting out a location now because we still need our food to grow.
Okay. The reason why. Yeah.
You will know an area quite soon.
Gotcha. The reason why I was asking about that is because after 16 years, me and my father, we reunited, and he's actually, you know, he's in Issachar, so he's down there in like Puerto Escondido area, which is south. And, you know, it's amazing to have him back in my life and all. But I'm just a little bit concerned for Issacharites out there because I was just told that it's very...
He's not in one of those cartel crazy areas and all that. And sometimes just like if you live in another country, people think that, people believe that North Philadelphia, you know, is Vietnam during the height of the war. So it depends on how media is actually spinning when it comes to certain areas. There's crime every place. But at the end of the day, there's good people. If you're not in that environment and not dealing with those types of things, you really don't have to worry about that.
That's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is that the public's eye out there.
Yeah, she come. Yeah, just take your video off. That's all, and keep your voice there. That's fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I'm just speaking to Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, now I'm listening. Go ahead.
So they're very strict on workers. So they're really pushing for the vaccine. And I was just told that I have two younger siblings who had to get the vaccine. And I'm just
usually because we're on YouTube, we usually use the B word. We don't really try to use that word like that because it draws an algorithm. Bots, they start sending satanic sentinels to try to, you know, examine what's going on when you use that word, the B word. But the whole the whole world is pushing what it's pushing. But you have to know you're right. Just because they're saying it and promoting it doesn't mean you have to follow what they're saying. Mandate and strong, really, believe it or not, they're just pressing strong when it comes to pushing that particular agenda. But all in all, you have to make a choice and understand there's always legal ways to not follow the herd.
Right.
You have to find alternatives. So I'm really much outside of what they're pressing and what they're saying, and more so understanding that there's people traveling all around the earth and going about their business, regardless of what the talking heads are saying on the news, because they understand what what their rights are.
Right.
So what you need to do is really figure out whether or not you have religious protection, health protection, and exemptions to be able to say, well, listen, it's against this, so why I can't do this because it violates my sovereignty, it violates my health. So you have to find out whether or not one of these exemptions fits you, and do it and travel and deal with it like everyone else. Just because they put it out there as an option, and they'll press it if it's law, doesn't mean that people have to follow it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and to make it clear, since this thing have rolled out, the government have never forced anyone to take anything.
Mm-hmm.
The job have never forced anyone to take anything. They strongly suggested, and they left it up to the people. But keep in mind, no one have ever forced anyone to do anything. Every person that got this stuff got it voluntarily.
Right. So. And I just listened to your, you know, I'm trying to honor my parents as much as possible, and I did listen to your RFID, you know, the video that you had on it, and I, you know, sent it out to him and stuff. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm a woman, so I have these feelings, and I'm just really emotional about it, and,
You know, that's understandable. I can understand that. But all in all, you must have faith, and you have to stand on something. You have to stand on what's right, and know that the Most High is with you. Stop listening to the news, and stop listening to the worry, because this is what they're going to use. Fear puts you in subjection.
Yeah.
The greatest tool Satan used against people is fear. Fear.
Right.
But then the question arises, where's your faith? Where's your faith?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You gotta deal that faith. You know, understand that, hey, if you stand with the Most High, he'll never forsake you. Stick with him. Regardless, Satan's going to try to scare us into bending. Stick with him and stop worrying so much. You know, when the worry come down on you, sometimes this is what I do. I don't worry. I don't even deal with that. That's what is worry. What I do is when I'm concerned is, you know, when I feel that something's pressing on my spirit, I go into the bathroom by myself, you know, go into a closet like Christ said, say the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, and next thing you know, that pulls me back. Say the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, then I leave the room, and I'm like, okay, let's get it. So stop worrying. Don't worry about what they're saying. They're pressing. They're strongly suggesting. But they haven't forced anyone to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know a brother, and I'm not going to say his name, but he was told, in 3 months, if you don't do this, you ain't going to have a job. Guess what happened? 3 months came and gone. And then they said, well, in 3 months, if you don't do this, you ain't going to have a job. Now, the whole time, this brother was just looking at them like they had 2 heads. Because there was nothing in his job description that said that he had to do that. So the 3 months came, and guess what happened? They said, well, in 3 months, if you don't get it, you ain't going to have a job. 9 months and went, almost a year. And then what happened after the 3 months? If you don't get it in 3 months, you're not going to have a job. Now, by the time a whole year went by, sister, they were kicking this can down the road. All the people who thought that they only had 3 months, guess what? Guess what? They all and got it. And then, after a year and a half passed, kicking down the road every 3 months, they say it's no longer necessary.
Right.
And guess who was still working there, and it's fine, they don't have to deal with it.
The
so did they force anyone? Now, did they actually force anyone to get it? No.
No.
They were saying, here's the deadline that employees have to get it. They would put a deadline there. But they never said that. They never said that if you don't do it, you're fired. You know why? Because that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
That's illegal. You can't fire someone for something medical unless they signed up for that, unless they signed up initially to make that a prerequisite to have employment.
Mm-hmm.
So, but eventually, the majority of the people were afraid, were scared into it, and they got it. And do that, the percentage of people that the job required was fulfilled. The people who thought it meant they did it over their job, they got it, and guess what? The companies were able to meet their quota. Okay? That's all I can say on that. All right?
Yeah.
So,
all right,
no fear. Well, faith over fear, okay? I got to get to the next call, but I'll let you get the last word.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom, sister. And stay strong, okay?
Okay.
The Most High is with you, Sabrina. Stop worrying.
Okay.
All right. All right. 267 area code.
Hey,
so we have Juan who's living in Columbia who has a question. Yes. How are you? You're from the Philadelphia area, I suppose.
Shalom.
Yes.
All right. You have two people on the line here? People
yes, sir. I called in so my aunt was able to talk to you because she couldn't call in.
Oh, how are you doing, Annie? Talk to me.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
This is Belinda Kirkpatrick in the Philadelphia area. I am presently in the academy for the second time.
Thank you.
I have two questions.
Okay.
The first question is how can I become, how can I join the Philadelphia body?
Oh, well, Bishop Amos can give you a call and we can get the ball rolling.
Okay, and I also desire to be baptized.
Okay, there you go. Let's roll as a woman. Can you be reached on this number?
No, my number is...
Okay, well, I'm going to put it out there because you'll be getting prank calls all night. What I can do is I can use this number, have them call this sister, and this sister will contact you. Is that okay?
That's fine. That's my niece.
Okay, what is your name?
And I kind of, my name is Belinda.
But what is the sister, who's the sister attached to this?
My name is Mona. Mona.
Mona?
Yes, I'm the one that's in Florida that you hooked up with, Elder Purnell.
Oh, I got you. Okay, sister, what is your name, the sister from Philadelphia?
Belinda,
okay. All right, well, I just sent that to Bishop of Mop. You should get a phone call tomorrow. Make sure,
okay,
Mona, that...
Okay,
make sure, Mona,
also,
that you
Elder,
convey the information.
Also, Elder...
Yeah.
I've been in the truth since 1995. I've been learning.
1995. Okay.
Yes,
so 1995. When I was teaching on the streets in 15th and Market down there, when we was on Shutman Avenue.
Yes, I used to go to UPK.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was a general in UPK.
Okay, I also have some music,
okay.
Some Israelite music that I would like to, I guess, re-record, and I don't know how to go about doing that.
Well, Sister Belinda, let's take one thing at a time. Let's get this connection first. And
okay.
All adventures and everything you like to do to help bless this work, hey, this is the place to do it. Let's get the connection first, okay? And we'll discuss the relationship that you have with the church, and we'll help you do whatever you need to do to bless the work, okay?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So wait for the call.
Thank you.
And after that,
thank you, Elder Zapar.
Thank you for making the connection, sister. And
you
stay
welcome.
Strong. All right. Bless you.
Sawada. Thank you.
Thank you. And I tell you, these sisters are waking up. We have one from Asher from Columbia.
Shalawan, Elder.
Shalawan.
Oh,
Shalawan,
Elder, yes.
Yeah,
blessings from Colombia, yes. I have a question for the elder in Mexico. I'd like to get a next word so we can...
Tom, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, Elder Chicago is on. What question do you have for?
Early this year, I went to a little town in the Pacific coast of Colombia, and the Lord, and Ahaya, the Most High, put me something in my heart to develop something like a farm over there too, you know. So I don't know how am I going to get the money. We need tools. We need filters and everything. But I call this project Isaiah 45:3. So I don't know wealth transfer. I don't know anything about that. But the only thing that I know is that the Lord has put in me this desire to expand, to build community, to build church over there, you know. Maybe I'm not ready, but Deacon Kazak has given us all the tools to preach to preach the gospel over there. So people in that area of Colombia are sick and tired of these evangelical crusades where they bring only sodas, pork, big pharma, and they make these crusades and with a lot of miracles and things like that, and they don't want that. When I talk about I went for a photographic job over there, and they did a procession with a little Jesus and everything. When they asked me what did I think about that, I say, well, I think you should praise Christ too, you know, the resurrected Christ. And I have a little conversation with the priest over there, and people got really interested about knowing that Jesus, that Christ was black, according to Revelation. And what, in a nutshell, there's a lot of people starving for the truth gospel in that area of Colombia. So I want to start a project over there. So it's like that. Maybe we can network and do things, you know, learn from each other. I learn from you guys. When I was a young man, I used to live in Israel, and maybe the kibbutz thing could work too. You know, this community, agricultural community, could do a lot of things good in Colombia, because, I mean, Colombia is starving for the true gospel.
I bet they are, and it's most glad to have you calling here. So what I did was I text your number right to a main brother that we have, Deacon Kazak, who's really, we're moving him to Bishop Kazak very soon, of Puerto Rico.
Oh, really? Okay,
and,
great. Great
and
news, great news. All right.
Yeah, so he's going to reach out to you and connect with you, and we're going to get this thing going on in Colombia. If you need some help as far as dealing with the garden and all those things, once we get that church connection first, and then we can move into the food sector, okay?
Excellent. Thanks, Elder.
All right.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate
that. Thank you.
Welcome to the family, brother. This is what this truth is all about, all right?
Yes.
Bless you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. I see you, sunshine. I didn't forget you. LaTanya has a comment.
Okay, let me see. Oh, hold on. Where is it?
All right, going down the line, unfortunately, we have Yolanda with a question.
Shalom, Elder, how are you?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. How are you?
Doing just great. Question is, you've been teasing us with all this music. When are you going to drop that second album?
Oh, yeah. Well, don't forget, we have some people flying in to do the video for Bye Bye. And that's August 1st. So I'm looking, I want to actually spearhead all of this during the time right before the new moon or the new month for September. When there's three holy days within September in of itself. So I want to spearhead it where we can launch this right before, you know, around tabernacles and things of that nature, around September, about the time that children are going to school and all that. And, you know, right before the school period. I want to drop it late August, early September. So no more teasing. We're going to get the video
okay.
and we're going to drop the whole project. Yeah. And this time we're going to do something a little different. Once the project takes traction, we're going to start going into the different areas where there's churches. Okay?
Okay.
We're going to go into different areas where we have churches set up, and we're going to do the whole music with the purpose along with teaching the gospel to the neighborhoods and all that at the same time. So we're going to try to integrate it all into a mission, not just having the music, but using it as a tool to get to the youth and to bring and to actually provoke conversation.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to you coming to Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, you'll see me there.
Okay. Okay, right. Then, the water.
All right, bless you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Okay, I'm muting myself. What's going on here? All right, Sunshine. The culture of the kingdom people. Let's roll.
Hello. Elder. Shalom. Hi. Oh, bless you, elders. Hi. Shalom. Okay. Elders. It's so true that it's like reverse psychology, where there's an automatic and quiet understanding that all nations outside of Israel can create generational wealth for their own bloodlines and families, while Israel, the true children of Israel, are not expected to advance or even desire advancement for themselves or future generations. And in fact, when we make an attempt towards creating generational wealth for our own communities, we, the children of Israel, are met with like two categories of destroyers: diversions from gaining wealth via trickeries and psychology, you know, that the other nations perpetuate against us, you know, as we see with, you know, all the alignment with multiculturalism and feminism and liberalism and all that, and opening up doors to steal the bag, you know, with the Civil Rights Fund. And then the second thing is the Judas trap set for our people, by our people, to keep the masses among us at the bottom of every crab bucket without relief or hope. Our own people operating as overseers against us, to keep us in those buckets and away from transformation into what we were truly meant to become. And instead of seeing how we as a kingdom people can build and rebuild in common code according to the work, we in Willie Lynch curse and sometimes willful or selfish practices, we go hard in the paint in opposition against the Most High and against our own, kicking against the bricks. And towards our own habitual downgrades, and because in attempt to keep our own houses comfortable and hang on to our own dreams, we lose temporarily. And for some of us who we don't change in mindset, we choose to lose all in all in the end. And to top it off, when we choose Christ, our Savior, as kingdom people, the Jew first and then the Gentile, who sojourn with Israel and desire to love our God, the public and private shunnings that from those people who are against Christ and despise our power grow stronger and stronger towards the servant. And yet, as we begin understanding our power in Christ, we realize that the slave shackles upon Israel first, and also upon the whole earth, are actually invisible bonds, like we were talking about, because we are all afforded gifts. All of us in Christ desire our gifts to be used for righteousness while chaos is happening all around us, and we walk in wisdom of the Most High and the fruit of the Spirit, and in harmlessness build and see new ways to build and begin, you know, being connected to the heavens in time by calling on Most High, His true name, Ahiah, and His Son Christ, Yeshua, and Sabbath to Sabbath and feast day to feast day and prayer to prayer, we can move forward in confidence and really in boldness, in wisdom and harmlessness, we can rage against those winds tossing people to and fro in every wind of doctrine. So we in Christ can gird strong against the harlot pulpits and the media platforms and the medical apparatus and all of the political impositions against us, and we can see them, the impositions that are against, you know, the black males as well as, you know, us and our people in the ghettos and, you know, with the drug paraphernalia that's sent out as peace and safety for our communities, and it's not. And then the eventual imposition that that is to progressively weaken our nation to prevent one body with a unified front. Through the boldness in Christ, though, we can move forward in faithfulness, even as a mustard seed, with diligent working hands of carpenters, masons, herbalists, farmers, cooks, nurturers, righteous scribes, and the list goes on. And through each gift we were given and have grown through our captivities, the various captivities, we can spread and share knowledge and nonstop growth in new ideas and inspirations being linked to a continual stream of creativity by the grace of Christ and in his righteous body, without a doubt, as Elder to come, you know, with the work of his hands has shown, the kingdom, as Christ said, is within us, and our motivation to work harder in the pain for us and to the glory of our God and never again cast our pearls is a certainty, and by grace it's a promise prophesied. And that's all I wanted to say, Elder. Praise be to the Most High. That's all I wanted to say. Praise be to the Most High. Oh, bless you, Elder.
Okay. Yeah, she wrote all that down, too. Hey, she's good at it. But, hey, a lot of things, what she said is right on point. The kingdom of heaven cometh not by observation. It's within us. So the question is, what are you doing to prepare for when there's no more food? What are you doing? Okay. Get together with your families, because the other nations are already in front of this, and make a plan. Teach our children how to grow. Teach them that food doesn't grow in supermarkets. Pray to the Father to use what's in us to gain resources to sustain us. All right. With that, I'm going to say Shalom. May the Most High be with you. Stay prayed up. Then not, and keep in mind the Most High is calling back Israel. That's right. I'll see you all this Friday on Patreon when we'll be going over the music industry's darkest secrets. Shalom and good night. I really appreciate you coming on, Shikam. I really do. I really appreciate you, my brother. Great, great work. Also, Elder Lowy, I appreciate you coming on. Shikam, I don't know if your phone is muted or whatever the case is, but I know you're still there. Let's just say thank you all, and I'll call you tomorrow. Get some rest. Shalom.